Hello, welcome to a Silly Sailor Review. Quick note about the review and this podcast. I am a huge, huge fan of films, and so is the rest of my family. So I decided to make a podcast where we could just talk about all the movies we've seen, recent or not, and just give them honest opinions. We'll try to keep it clean, very light. It'll be a lot of fun. And we'll also try to keep them fairly short because we could go on for the length of a film talking about a film. So we'll do our best to keep it short. And today I have guest starring with me, my younger sister, Daisy. Oh, and I'm sorry, Daisy. I just want to say that we're going to be reviewing Monsters University, the latest Pixar film. And my name is Kyle Erber. And here's Daisy. Introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. I'm really happy to be here, and I'm excited to be on the first episode of The Silly Sailor.
Silly Sailor, yes. All right, so, Monsters University, let's begin. All right, so, do you want to just say the plot, or do you want me to?
Okay, well, the plot, let's just, like, go along together. The beginning, he starts off, and you see, he starts off, you see young Michael, and you see how it seems like he didn't have that many friends when he was little, so maybe he didn't when he was older, and that's what made him get good grades and made him kind of a nerd.
We can assume so. Yeah. I mean, because, like, later in the film... Well, before we get to that, it starts out with young Mike being toured of the Monsters, Inc. factory, and there he gets inspiration to go to Monsters University, the college, for scaring, and that's where...
you hear about the other college, too.
Yeah, you hear about Scare Tech, the other university. And then... From there, it cuts to basically the saying Monsters U, and it's got a pretty cool title sequence, I'll admit. Yeah. But the whole film's about basically passing college and then passing the scare games, which are these annually held games for scaring. And then, without saying too much about the ending, I mean, we'll give spoilers, but we will give like a little... I'll put in like a little music from the movie to let people know it's
a spoiler.
Spoiler coming up, or when we're going into spoiler territory.
Okay.
So that's basically the premise, is just surviving college.
And another obstacle in the movie, I'd say, is Mike and Sully are rivals when they're at college, because Mike is a determined straight-A student who wants to be a scarer. He's got it, like, he doesn't really have it in his blood because... Yeah, never mind, but he's not a natural scarer like Sully is, but he is determined to do it with the smarts and the brains, while Sully just assumes that he'll pass because he's a Sullivan. His dad was famous at the college and for being, like, an amazing scarer, so he just assumes that...
Yeah, he's just gonna coast, basically.
And Mike really despises him for that because he's the one who's actually working at passing...
It's true. I mean, Mike puts in all the effort, and he's not really getting any results, while Sully does nothing, and everyone just loves him because he has the title behind him and the kind of notoriety from that.
And he gets into the Roar Omega Roar fraternity, and that makes him popular, and yeah.
No, yeah, it's true. All right, so favorite scene, go.
I really like the part when during the scare games... when they are going through, like, the tunnels and they have those glow-in-the-dark...
the urchins?
Urchins. I thought that was a funny part. It was funny. It was colorful. And I really liked the music during that part. Like, just makes me want to go running or something, because...
I don't blame you. I liked it, too. Yeah. No, that was good.
How about you?
I really liked the part where they're introducing... Where, I mean, beyond... after they destroy... Dean Hornscrabble's, what was her name?
Hornscrabble,
her trophy or whatever, and they get kicked out, and then they're back in because if they win the scare games or whatever, and then we're introduced to basically all the Uzma Kappa guys.
Oh, I think
they were all just a lot of fun.
Who's your favorite out of that group?
Probably, I can't remember, like, anyone's names besides Squishy and Art, but it's the salesman guy.
Oh,
Don Carlton. Yeah. I thought he was so funny. Yeah. And I love like his bat mustache, too. I thought that was such a fun touch.
And I love how he's, like, you would expect to see, like, a bunch of young guys all in a fraternity, and he's actually...
No, yeah, it makes sense.
Older guy going, like, trying to get back into the scaring world.
Which happens often, where people go back to college, you know, to get their degree or whatever. So it makes sense. And just the fact that he decides to join a fraternity when he's, like, 35.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. He was a lot of fun, I thought.
And I really liked Squishy, because... Or Scott Squishy, whatever.
Whatever his name was, yeah.
I really liked him. He was so cute, and he's just so lovable. He's so squishy. Like, no, I just love him.
He really is. And then, I don't know, we'll talk about his setup that really went nowhere, you know, in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But before we get to that, let's talk about the music, yeah.
I loved the music. I already got the soundtrack.
It's good. Yes, Daisy bought it within, you know, hours of us coming back from the theater.
I liked it so much. I liked the college drumming, like the feeling where, and it's kind of like...
It sounds like you had a pep rally or something.
Yeah, and other music from it, Randy Newman did the score and composed it and stuff. Mm-hmm. But
like the original.
But just like you feel like all of the music is so grand, like you're walking in this grand school and it's got like this, I don't know, like...
Pomp and circumstance kind of feel.
Yes.
Yeah, no, Randy Newman did a really good job there. And it's very different from him, too. I don't think I've ever heard anything that sounded kind
of
like
this. I always think of him as kind of jazzy and not as much...
Not so much like not drums pumpy, and percussion and stuff.
Yeah, usually I see more like a saxophone more than drums and percussion like that.
That's interesting. And then there's some good throwbacks to the original soundtrack. I remember when they're at the Monsters, Inc. breaking in, you could hear the original music from the first one, and I thought that was very tasteful. Because, I mean, besides the opening theme for Monsters, Inc., there's not really a whole ton of really memorable music.
Yeah.
But when you rehear it, you can go, oh, right, that's from the original.
Mm-hmm.
Or from the not prequel. Yeah. Monsters, Inc., not Monsters University.
Yeah, it's weird to think that I was going to talk about some of the characters you see from the first movie, and it's...
They make a reappearance.
Yeah, they make a reappearance, and you kind of recognize, like, oh, that's the guy who gets the CDA on him, and
What was his name?
I really
Peter
don't
or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But things like that where it's weird to think that it's a prequel, but it feels like it's the second movie, but it's really before they go to Monsters, Inc. to work there.
Yeah, it works out. Well, because it'd be tough to make a sequel. I mean, obviously you could fit Boo in with Soli and all that. But the whole laughter is now the new thing. It's not nearly as interesting when it comes to monsters and laughter. Monsters and Scaring works so much better. So the whole prequel idea here works really well.
I wonder what happens to the scaring part of Monsters University when they find out that laughs are...
Don't you...
Maybe they change it to, like, a clown school
I would like it to see that, because maybe... Yeah, I mean, like, when Uzma Kappa now suddenly be, like... Their Roar Omega Roar would be, like, they're not funny at all. You know who is? The losers are. And next thing you know, they'd be...
So true.
They're kind of... Well, that's weird to think about. But do you also think, like, it would kind of just destroy the whole society? The whole society is built around scaring. Their whole world.
But you're a monster. Just like Dean Hardcrabble says, if you're not scary, then what kind of monster are you?
Yeah. It's like your scariness amounts of what kind of a monster you are. And it's like, think about it, with that thinking being completely wiped out, do you think the whole school just went to ruins? Like, no one was willing to back it? Yeah. There's no more... I mean, like,
or
all federal grants, everything.
Like, you're right, like, the tables have turned, just like with Uzma Kappa and Roar Omega Roar.
But with the entire
with everybody.
World.
Yeah, it's the whole monster world.
Yeah,
that's
I don't know.
Crazy.
And then you think, what kind of percussions does it have to the real world? Think about little kids not being scared anymore of the monsters in the closet. Think about now. From now on, kids are never scared because there aren't monsters. Now the only thing is... Laughter coming from them, and your parents come in, like, what are you laughing about? I'm like, oh, there was a monster here that made some funny jokes and left.
And he swallowed a microphone, like,
yeah. And you're just like, well, would we have braver people in our society? Wouldn't that have some kind of negative repercussions?
What did you think the parents, like, what it
well, think of all those times that you didn't leave bed because you were scared.
You would just, like, turn your light on and kind of have, like, your own nightclub with a comedian up front, you know?
Yeah, you could just, that's just weird to think about. I mean, there'd have to be some kind of repercussions in our world also, but not nearly as much as compared to theirs.
That's true. And something else I want to talk about was the fact that they are introduced as they hadn't known each other before in college. It's like, hi, I'm Solvin, whatever. But really, everyone knows, everyone remembers that they met in elementary school. There's a line in Monsters, Inc., where I want to call it Monsters University.
I know.
Where he talks about how they were friends in the third grade.
Yeah, he says something like, you've always been jealous of my good looks since the third grade or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember when I heard Monsters University and watching the trailer, and then they shake hands and introduce themselves.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought you guys had been friends since elementary school. So what's going on here?
And then Pixar actually talked about it. Who directed this one? I actually don't remember the name.
I have no idea. Well, I'm sorry, audience. We are the worst.
We're really prepared with this, huh? But Pixar was saying that it was just an old monster saying, like, oh, we've been since the third grade, you know.
Yeah.
But really, that was kind of a stretch, you know. But really,
you could say that, yeah.
Yeah. And in a commercial.
You don't worry about that. It's okay.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, okay, might as well just say it. And there was a commercial before Tarzan where they talked about how they'd been friends for a while, right? Or something like that.
In fifth grade as well, so it can't.
If that's the case, I don't know, whatever. They didn't realize that they're going to be making a prequel.
Yeah.
It's not really their fault. There's no one to blame. Yeah, it's just a weird thing to point out.
You can't really do anything about it. You could try and say it was old monster saying, I guess it's the best you can do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, so we have you wrote down beginning titles, which I do like to talk about. I am a huge fan of title sequences.
Yes,
I love.
You can never miss the beginning of a movie when we're going to movie theater because.
Because it'd be the worst. I mean, I can miss previews and trailers and stuff because now you can't get away from those on YouTube and turning on your computer.
Yeah.
There's ads ready to go, but when it comes to film, it's just I really want to see the title sequence just for the opening credits. I love seeing the words how they're presented. Like in the original Monsters Inc.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they, it shows all the cartoon. I love that. I love when it says Monsters Inc. on it. Like, that's just, I don't know. Yeah. I'm weird about title sequences, but I like reassuring what film I'm watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if it's really cool and very memorable.
Mm-hmm. It's fun when they're creative with it, you know? Just boring titles going by.
Well, even then, sometimes they can make it interesting. Like, I remember Inception, it's really thin writing, and it's all spread out, and the music, like, swells for it and stuff, and it's like, that's cool in its own sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like I said, it's a guilty pleasure of mine. It's just, I love title sequences. I don't know why.
And it's kind of a throwback to the original title sequence in Monsters, Inc.
Oh,
that
yeah.
kind of animation.
The Monsters U one, yeah. It's drawn in the same way that the Monsters, Inc. one was done.
And it's cool that they show part of the story, but it's not actually, they're just showing it in the
They're kind of just like fast-forwarding through the movie
to
that's
show
true.
That Mike studied hard, got A+, gets into Monsters U, and it's just kind of interesting how they threw that in there without having to actually put the actual scene in the movie.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's good. All right, so before we started recording this, we were talking about the beginning of the movie, and we brought up the point that we thought Mike, when he's little Mike Wazowski, he was acting way too mature for his age.
Yeah, the way he was talking.
He was acting like he was 15 or something.
Yeah, and he was really, like, he was comedic. Like, it was funny seeing Mike being like, hey, guys, what's up? But
when he's surrounded by, like kind of mouth breathers of other monsters, like morons, he really stands out from contrast. And you think, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah,
like
he's
acting
too little.
Yeah, he's way too young.
He's, like, in first grade in that beginning, I'd say first or second grade.
Yeah.
And it
seems like a first grade field trip or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, like, it's funny when he calls the teacher by her first name.
Yeah.
Like,
and even
she
turns him down.
That was really funny. But, it's just, he acts too old, and it's not like he's a genius. Like, that was never flat out said.
Yeah.
He's not like Jimmy Neutron or something.
Yeah, he's kind of more mature.
He's smart, because he got into Monsters U by working really hard. And you see in the title sequence, he gets A's and stuff.
Yeah.
But he was way too smart for being one. And before even having inspiration to be really smart and get really good grades to go to Monsters U, he was already acting that way.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was just a little bit like, that doesn't seem too realistic. And they're just trying to show off that Mike's really cool, you're going to like him.
Yeah.
Compared to,
and
like you said, all
it's also
enough.
His story.
Yeah.
Because the first Monsters, Inc. is about Sully. This is the one that's about Mike, yeah.
And
no,
I did like
true.
How they did that, too. How they kind of.
Yeah.
Everyone likes Mike in the first one. Everyone likes him as a character, and so I like how they kind of made this movie about him.
Yeah, they brought him to the front row kind of thing. No, and I'm glad, too, because I wouldn't have liked to have seen the story of Sully where he coasted all through, like, junior high and high school to get to college. He's never done anything in his life. He's never worked. Like, that's not interesting at all. I would much rather follow the story of Mike. It's
And it makes you want to cheer for him, and it makes me kind of dislike Sully in a way, because I don't really like those people that kind of just coast through with,
yeah, everyone knows that person work. Who still gets really good grades, and all the teachers still love them, even though they don't contribute at all.
It makes you feel sympathetic for Mike, so I really like that.
No, yeah, yeah. I definitely agree.
Before we go to, like, what works and what was kind of defaults, I want to say...
See, you keep saying defaults. I think you mean faults.
Faults.
Just the faults of them.
But, the scene when they're like, spying on Monsters, Inc.
For the inspiration and all that.
Yeah. And why is it still open at night? Okay, never mind. But
I'm guessing that was, like, the
earlier days or
something. Well, I was... Wait, hold on. You're right. I was thinking... That's like the night shift guys, but in Monsters,
like,
Inc.
The famous monsters, like.
But
going,
do you also remember in Monsters, Inc.?
They shut down.
Where they shut down, and there's, like, that lone door.
Yeah.
Because there's no one else is working.
I just thought of that right now before I was going to talk about that part, but
that doesn't make any sense. How
that's
odd!
Weird. Wow. Well, anyway, and like the great famous monsters are there, you know, like working the late shift. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't seem right.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to talk about that part. I don't know if I was talking with you about this or someone else, but you know how Sully just carries everybody, like, all the...
Oh, he just picks up everyone.
Yeah.
Why didn't he do that during the scary games?
Yes, why didn't they just all, like, even... Okay, they didn't know that before when they were doing the sea urchin race.
Yeah, okay, but hello, people, the goth
the
girl...
Well,
no, I was gonna say the goth girl and that dragon guy. You guys need to explain the rules better, that all your people need to cross the line. You
and
can't just tell them when they think they won.
And everyone else seemed to know that already.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you guys have to cross the line. You're like, wait, what?
It's like, they didn't know, and we as the audience didn't know, too? Because if we knew as the audience, and then we see that Mike and Sully didn't realize that, that'd be fine. But we as the audience didn't know either, so that wasn't really fair to us.
Yeah. Because you're kind of, like, confused that, like, they got... Anyway.
Oh, well.
A little bit. Oh, well, that reminds me. I really did like the mom of Squishy's mom. She was funny.
She was very funny.
And I think she helped with, when we saw the movie in theaters with our parents, they were laughing at her. They got, like,
they could connect with her,
yeah. She was just funny. I liked her.
No, it definitely helps with the more adult audience, where they can... I mean, they can see the kind of dry humor where it comes, like, an adult life,
And the scare game when they have Avoid the Teenager... a lot of the adults in the theater were laughing with that, too, because it's typical teenage sayings and stuff.
No, yeah, that part's really funny, I agree. So, should we get into spoiler territory, you think?
Yeah, I think we already did a little bit. I almost did.
Well, do you want to talk about the ending?
Yes, I do.
All right, let's
I really liked that part.
We'll get to the ending right now.
So you want to start when they have the final scare game part?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
So, for spoilers, just gonna, like, that music was to let you know we're here. We've kind of lightly touched on some spoilers, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really gotten to the end or anything. But, let's talk about the end of the scare games. I thought, personally, that when Mike won we're assuming you've seen the movie, if not in the last scare game.
Go see it right now.
Oh, yeah, go see it. What are you guys doing?
Yeah,
like,
don't listen to this if you haven't seen it. Anyway.
When Uzma Kappa wins... And then, Mike won his little bit. I was waiting. I was like, all right, so it was painfully obvious that someone tampered with the machine.
Because it's a little suspicious that he got so many points compared to Sully or
some of the other guys.
Or some of the other guys who were actually pretty scary.
Or the other Uzma Cat or the Roar Mega Roar guys.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they would have done better than... Yeah, exactly. It was broken for Mike's, but I didn't think it was going to be broken. I was thinking someone... Like, Sully had snuck in and also scared the monster, or the monster, the little boy. I said the monster, because those little dummy things were so
scary, creepy.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways.
You're pretty good at guessing endings. So,
yeah.
So.
It's kind of terrible. It's like having a little curse where I'm always able to just figure out where it's going to go. It's a real shame. That's why whenever I'm watching a movie and I have no idea where it's going, I'm so happy. I like when I can't guess the ending, because when I can...
It's a good movie, then.
Yeah, exactly. Kept me on my toes. And this one, actually, I'll admit, I thought, when they first said, you know, the final for your scare final comes up, By the end of the semester or whatever, I was thinking, oh, that's the end of the movie.
That'll be the climax.
Exactly. That was going to be the end of the film. But no, that was just the end of the first act.
It's kind of one of those movies where you feel like it's going to end. Like, you feel like it's almost over. Like, when they have, this is what I've noticed, like, in movies where they have a big dance in the middle of the movie and it keeps going. And you kind of feel like that was the final, that was it. Like, that was the movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then it keeps going. You're like, oh, this is longer than I thought it would be, because...
And sometimes you can be pleasantly surprised, and sometimes you can be bummed because you're ready for this movie to end.
Yeah.
No, I see what you mean. So, that was the end of the first act. Sorry about that interruption. Anyways, what were we saying? That was
the end of part one.
Yeah, the first act was the end of the scare final, and I was blown away. I was like, well, I figured that'd be the end of the movie, was them passing it or whatever... But no, I was a little surprised, and then when they brought in the scare games, I thought, oh, okay, this is going to be like the Tri-Wizard Tournament from Harry Potter. Like, that's the first thing I thought, you know? And it's true, because, like, the underdog in the group was going to eventually win it or whatever. Yeah. And after this, though, it had a lot of also, like, a teamwork theme
sort
behind
of,
it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's all the scenes where they had to work together that some of them didn't really go anywhere. Really quickly, I want to talk about Squishy. I want to talk about...
Yes, okay.
They set up that Squishy, the character, was like, really quiet and, like, a stealth master. And Mike says stuff like, oh, we got to get a bell on you.
Yeah, and he was kind of set up to be, like, that would be used later.
Yeah, exactly. It seemed like that was going to be used at some point, like, in the climax or something.
But
and
it wasn't.
It wasn't at all. I mean, I'm thinking...
You feel like it would have helped, like, them win, like, an extra, like, a bonus round or something because... Or
no,
something.
I'm thinking where they're trapped inside the human world. They would have had him...
Oh, he could have snuck in.
Not into something. The human world, but maybe he snuck in that room where Hornscrabble was and stuff. But instead, they just have the Don Carlton guy go out, and then it ends there. And you're like, well, is Squishy not going to be... That power that they set up that he has not going to be used at all?
Mm-hmm.
And they literally don't. They don't go anywhere with it. And I was... a bit frustrated with that.
Because why set it up even?
And that's what made me think maybe there was some part cut out. Or I don't know, it felt like his like little character arc was, part of it was missing, a chunk of it. And I was thinking, you know, maybe it's because the movie was already running like an hour and 35 minutes or so.
A bit long, or just a bit longer.
Well, yeah, I honestly wish the movie had been longer. That was my number one complaint when I came out. Was I wish it had just been a longer film. I wish it was like a mini series on television or something, because there was so much stuff.
You could have extended on.
Yeah, they expanded on a lot of it. But, like, a lot of the scare games just go by in, like, montage.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that stealth one where they're all hidden in the house.
Only two
like,
of them.
There was, like, no build-up to that. It just came and went, like, in a minute and a half. And I was like, oh, I was expecting it to have, like, the same length of time as the librarian scene.
Yes.
But with the other, but they don't. It's really odd.
Yes, because the three, like, the urchin one, I can never remember that word. It takes me a second.
Sea urchin, yeah.
The urchin one, the library, and the final scare games are the only ones that are not montaged. And the other two are just kind of thrown in there.
What's the other one? There's the stealth one? What's the other non-montage one?
There's the hide-and-seek one. Oh, no, the other library... And the...
Wait, hold on. There's urchin, library, hide-and-seek, final. What's the other one?
The teenage one. The teenager one. Don't scare the
You're
teenager.
Right. That one was also in montage. That was the one I was forgetting. Thank you.
And that part was funny, too.
That was.
Like, it went too quickly, almost.
Maybe. I don't know. But then again, maybe that one... Maybe they could have overstayed their welcome.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough to complain about time issues.
Especially when it's they're aiming towards... younger audiences, and you can't sit in a movie theater that long, or...
Kids' attention spans are only so long. It's really tough. So, I think that's all I have to say about that. Do you want to get into, like, what worked and what didn't?
Sounds good.
Alright, so, personally for you, what did you think really worked for the film?
I think what really worked was, I think the characters were just my favorite part. Everyone you meet... you instantly liked. I don't think there was a character... I even liked Hornscrabble, even though she wasn't really the main villain, as you might say. But even the Roar Mega Roar, I just loved every character that you see. They're all creative, they're all funny. Like, I just liked that a lot.
Yeah.
The characters worked well together. They had funny... each had their own moment.
They all had good chemistry with each other, too.
Yes.
I mean, even though Mike and Sully hate each other, you like, when they start growing on each other kind of thing, it seems... mildly realistic, which is an odd thing to ask for in a film for, you know, any realism, especially when it's coming from cartoon monsters.
Yeah.
Having realism is odd. But, no, I agree with you. I think the characters work really well. For me, what worked was the setting, the university.
Yeah.
They, like, never leave campus, basically. Almost the entire film takes place on campus. And I thought, I mean, to say that, like, the animation was beautiful, obviously it was. We're in 2013. They can do miracles on computers now. So
the detail was just crazy.
Oh, yeah, the level of detail on some of the stuff is amazing.
Like, in the background, you can see a car alarm going off. Like, what?
Yeah, it's just crazy to think about. And a little backstory for myself, I took a 3D animation class, so I know how much time and energy effort and money goes into making those kind of things. It's crazy. There's a reason they have to do these like 4 years in advance.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there's so much to go into it.
Yeah.
And then you're just disappointed when the movie sucks like Brave. It's a real shame that it was wasted. We'll get
Brave
to that another day.
Brave is another story.
We'll get to that review later.
A long, angry review. No, okay.
Yes,
anyway.
No. A lot of frustration for that movie. But I'd say I think the setting works really well, especially accompanied with the music and with all the colorful, bright characters on the colorful, bright campus. I think it works really, really well.
Yes.
Also, some of the stuff they showed I thought worked, like the door making and the canister classes.
How it's not just all about scaring.
Yeah, it's not just, but there is other stuff.
There's other factors to scaring kids.
Yeah, it's not just, oh yeah, and this one really delves deep into the art of scaring children.
Yes.
That, another thing that worked is like the theology behind it, kind of.
And you think it would just kind of be like, Sully, if you were born scary, you could just go in there and scare.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Mike doing all those different faces, and they have to know what the kid is afraid of.
Yeah, you have to research your child and like, oh, they're scared of snakes. I'll use that against them, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
And
it's
kind of worked
crazy.
Out for Sully that she was afraid of thunder and lions.
Yeah, that was...
I was like, oh, that's a little...
That's kind of
perfect.
Perfect timing right there. Yeah.
I wonder what the one kid that Squishy scares was afraid of. Because he kind of just goes in there
and
you don't see him.
Stands there
with a scary face.
that actually was
creepy to me.
It was, no, but it was funny too. I liked it. All right, so anything else you say really works for the film? I think all the Uzma Kappa guys, all classics now.
Yes.
I mean,
they are all just awesome.
They are. I mean, all of them, like minor characters. Every minor character works really well. Except for, I mean, the Roar Mega Roar guys, they didn't really have too much of a backstory. They weren't very interesting. They were just they come out and they're wearing, like, dark Letterman jackets. And you're like, oh, so they're the bad guys. And none of these guys
are
bright like Mike.
And they kind of look scarier and bigger. And
yeah, you're just like, oh, they've got pointed edges. They're not, like, soft shapes
round.
Like
yeah.
Mike, yeah. So it's like, well, I guess they're the obvious bad guys, which they kind of are, yeah. I don't know, that was...
They probably are the main... There's not really a certain villain like Water News, you know, but you don't really expect that. But
yeah, no, I mean, you could say the Dean and then Roar Mega Roar
are
like the
just, like,
bad guys, and the human world is the bad guy too.
They're kind of just obstacles to me, just like something blocking them in
their quest to complete college, basically.
Or to get back into the scare program even with the scare games, and it... Yeah, I just...
It's interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
Let's talk about what was the detriment to the film, what didn't work. I'd say the Roar Mega Roar guys didn't really work. They were kind of just there to be bad. And then they did that whole, like, Carrie knockoff thing where they dropped the paint and glitter on them. It's like, okay, you guys, you know, we get it, you're bad guys.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to like you, we get it, we understand.
I'm trying to think of what didn't work for me, because they had a lot of great scenes.
I wish it was just longer. I wish there was more stuff. I remember when we first came in the movie, I was talking about, I wish how at the end of the scare games, they had been like, the goth girl and that dinosaur guy were like, all right, you guys, are you ready for this? Because now the finalists get to go fight against the other colleges in the monsters world. And for one final showdown. So then Uzma Kappa would be sent on to fight Scare Tech and...
Whatever.
I can't even come up with something clever. Yeah, whatever. The other colleges.
Yeah.
And
it's funny because you think Monsters University, it just sounds like the college. Because Scare Tech, I mean, that sounds like it's a college, but it just sounds like monsters. Like, that's so general. It seems like that's the only college a monster would go to.
Well, because, yeah, and especially if you're going to work at Monsters, Inc., it makes sense if you go to Monsters University. Like, yeah. It kind of only makes sense that way. Like, I mean, because there's the I'm stumbling on my words. The guy at the beginning, played by Jim from The Office, yeah. Gives him the hat, and then another person's like, no, Scare Tech all the way.
And then they steal the Scare Tech pig.
Yeah, and they got Archie the Scare Tech. Archie, right?
Yeah.
The Scare Tech pig. I don't know. I wish they could have expanded on all that. But, I mean, if that's one of the things I'm complaining about, is that I wish it just been longer and bigger. That's not really a really bad complaint.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
I just honestly.
Want to see more.
Just saying how much I liked it. I wish there was more I could like.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really think of anything else that I really didn't work. So about not really being sure where... Oh, geez. This is terrible. Sorry, we paused it for a moment and then we forgot where we were at. This is
right.
The first episode. Give us a break, maybe, hopefully, please.
So what didn't work, we were going to talk about Randall.
Yes.
Randy.
For me, the biggest thing that didn't work, yeah, was Randy or Randall, whatever you want to call him. Because in it, he's Mike's roommate. And it was like, oh, hey, cool. He's really cute and adorable, and he's got his big glasses on. And then he takes mm-hmm. glasses off, and that's why he's squinting all the time. Because he has, like, you know, poor vision.
Yeah.
And then it's just suddenly he just becomes, like, Roar Mega Roar, and he's just now a villain. It kind of really just happens.
Well, he does talk about how he wants to be. He's like, oh, I want to be in with the popular crowd.
Yeah, he wants to be with them because they're cool.
He's got his cupcakes and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just like out of nowhere. Once they're like, oh, you're in. He was like, oh, that I'm a bad guy now, I guess. Like, oh, hey, welcome to Slytherin. And it's like, oh, geez, I guess I'm a villain. Like, now I am. I'm a dark wizard. Kind of like that. It just kind of happened.
And then he just kind of is mean to them, like...
Yeah, well, and then his biggest thing to hate on, like, the team, Mike Sully team, is that during his part of the scare games, Sully roars so loud that he falls over and ruins mm-hmm. his score.
And you think he would have been able to change from the pink hearts to his normal purple, before going out into the field.
Before going back out, I would have definitely tried to change that about me, you know, my skin color there.
Yeah, or maybe he didn't realize it.
I'm assuming he didn't. I don't know.
He hears a little scaly noise whenever
he changes that.
Yeah. So, who knows? But that's just...
I don't know. Well, and I feel like that anger there shouldn't have carried on through their co-workers at Monsters, mm-hmm. Inc. I feel like they would have been able to say they're sorry at some point. And it's
or
like...
he couldn't have
hated them for like 15 years or I don't know, however long it is. Like, really? I don't know. Just about that one thing in college. It didn't seem like a big enough... Deal. Yeah, if something bigger had happened to him, that would have been like, oh, that's why he hates Mike and Sully so much.
Like, if Sully had somehow gotten him to be kicked out of Roar Mega Roar, that might have been a little bit better than...
That would have been good if he'd gotten him kicked out of the group. Why didn't that happen? That would have made total sense. Then he would have a reason to be angry at them.
That'd be so much better, just because that's just so little. I mean, they lost the scare games, that proves they're the best.
Yeah.
And that Roar Mega Roar is kind of mad, but... You don't see him. You don't see that he's kicked out. He might have been because they were mad that they could have cost him.
Uh-huh.
He could have cost them the scare games. But you never see that he's.
Yeah, I don't remember them ever saying like you're out.
Or if he.
Wait, hold on, because he was colored pink polka dots, whatever.
And then he goes hearts. What's his last name? Boggs. Like hearts, Boggs. Really.
I don't remember them ever, like, ripping off his jacket or something like that.
Or do you ever see him again where he's not wearing the jacket? I mean, I don't
know. I don't think we ever see him again, ever. I think that was the last time we saw him on screen.
You go to the human world, and then they get kicked out.
And then it's the montage in the locker.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, let's just talk about that.
Yes.
I like the ending montage. It was a fun way to see where they got and how they got to become scarers. Because technically, they're called dropouts, kind of. Not dropouts, but I mean...
They're
kickouts, and it's interesting. It was a neat little way of showing how they got to where they're at.
And then they kind of do the whole they're always hiring in the mailroom, and then
what's his name? John Ratzenberger has his little cameo as the Bombs and Mustard, and he talks about being
you could be banished.
Banished, yeah. Banishment is punishable or whatever, and then that was really clever.
Yeah, I liked that. And because he has to have his moment in a Pixar film.
Of course. He's the good luck charm.
Yeah.
That was good. I don't know. I just... I liked the ending. I liked how it led up to where they were at.
And they had to work their way up and get into it. And
I feel like Sully's arc becomes complete too, where he finds out to do work to where you get at. And then Mike's arc kind of completes when he's in the human world, mm-hmm. and he gets to help and become like the ultimate assistant. He can further making Sully scary. Yes. He doesn't have the face for it, but he can be like the brains behind it.
He's like the director and Sully's the movie. He's just running the show while Sully is just doing what he says.
Exactly. So. And that is kind
of... And it works out for them.
It does.
At Monsters, Inc., so...
It does. Yeah. Now, do you want to talk about the human world? Because I want to say that the human world looks so realistic.
It was... The people even...
Yeah. Look, they were kind of real looking.
It was scary.
It was like hybrided CGI with real life footage. Like when he was sitting by the lakeside and he's like throwing rocks in the lake, I was like, that looks like a serious lake, like a real legitimate lake somewhere. That looks so real.
It was weird. Like the trees, and I did like how they're so colorful compared to like that foresty area there.
Oh, yeah, because they go to the human world, and the human world's so drab and dark and black and white, kind of.
Even the kids look
real. The colors, dampened mm-hmm. and stuff. Yeah, the kids look like actual toddlers at a camp. It was just like, wow, it's just weird how far computers can
and
take us.
And it was pretty funny how you don't really see, you can't tell that it's a cabin full of, 20 kids in there.
Yeah.
And, they're like, oh, I worked on that door, the whole semester. And you see she's disappointed about it, that one monster who made it. Mm-hmm. But you don't know why. And you realize it was like a...
Oh, it's like 40 kids in there. A messed
up door needs to go through the shredder
kind of door. Yeah, that's one that can't be used kind of thing.
And, what I was going to say was when Sully is scrambling up to get up the mountain and Mike's helping him, he just looks so bright compared to the dirt and the dark green of everything. I just like that contrast to see how different the two worlds are.
I agree. No, it's pretty good. I like it. Now, In our house, we always do this thing called Better Than, Worse Than. And it's... talking about the film in question is better than what film that's relevant to it and worse than what film that's relevant to it. Mm-hmm. And so, for Monsters University, we...
I
would say Monsters U is better than...
What do we say?
I don't know. I mean, I'd say it's worse than the original Monsters, Inc.
Yes, because...
But see, that's really tough, because Monsters U was really good. It's it's neck and neck, I'd say, with Monsters, Inc.
But Monsters, Inc. I just still
like that one. It's kind of classic, yeah.
So that one's, it's worse than Monsters, Inc. I think we said it was better than Toy Story 2 or something.
Oh, yeah, I'd probably say it's better than Toy Story 2, and I bet you people out there are angry because people love Toy Story 2. But I'd say, I had way more fun during this film than I did, Toy Story 2.
Yes, and
which is odd to say, because now I'm thinking, Toy Story 2, I remember seeing when I was, third grade or something, and now I'm comparing movies to my third grade self and what I thought of film at the time. Just weird to think about.
No, I think that's a pretty good comparison, though, because that makes sense. I mean, I love Toy Story 2, but this was, you're right, more fun. And
I'd say, yeah, better than worse than. All right, and then, Daisy, who would you recommend this film for?
I'd say just about everybody.
Yeah.
I think any person that you say, oh, go see this, and they go see it, it's worth their money. They will enjoy it. You know, I think just if I said, oh, what movie should I go see? Oh, here's a good one that everyone will like, you know?
Would you recommend a DVD purchase of it, or would you say Netflix?
No, I'm buying this.
Buying it? Yeah. I agree. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I would recommend it, like I said, just about anyone can go see this. Adults, grandparents,
kids, teenagers.
Even toddlers will enjoy the colors. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, everyone will find something to enjoy with this film.
Definitely, definitely. I loved it. I thought it was just so great.
It's good. I'm excited for it to be out on DVD now.
When does that happen?
I don't know. It's soon. Probably December or something. We'll see. Yeah. And with that, let's do a little sign off, I guess.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. This was fun.
Yeah, this was fun. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed. So, subscribe, comment, rate, I don't know what you
download,
can do.
Just keep listening.
Stay tuned, because we're going to come out with reviews for any movies, not just ones in theaters, just any movies we have quite a bit of thoughts on. we'll just do our best to make a review of it. I mean, whether it's really old or whatnot. So, yeah, stick around for that. And you guys have a good day. Hope you enjoyed.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.